said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to collect gift offerings for me. Receive my gift offerings from everyone who freely wants to give. These are the gift offerings that you should receive from them: gold, silver, and copper, blue, purple, and deep red yarns, fine linen, goat's hair, ramskin dyed red, beaded leather, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and the sweet-smelling incense, gemstones and gems for setting in the priest's vest and chest piece. They should make me a sanctuary so I can be present among them." Exodus 25:1-8.
Hey, you comfortable? You got your coffee? Good, good. Maybe a little brunch, a snack of some kind? Good to hear. I tell you, pajamas, slippers, and no shower are what my kids are going to think it means when someone uses the phrase church clothes. Now, we will continue to film worship from the sanctuary. I find it grounding. But as you have seen, we are working to bring in clips from home and homes in a variety of ways to help us see more familiar faces and to connect with each other. That's why Miss Ginny is FaceTiming in every week to hang out with Dwayne the donkey. Today, Issa read our scripture from her room. We had the Smiths in Wheat Ridge and the Smiths in Indiana sharing with us about their experiences of staying at home. We also were lucky enough to have the Karzian family drive over from Sunnyside to offer us the handbells. Now, last week I was on the roof of the church, but this week I thought I'd bring you into our home a little bit. This is where we worship on Sundays right now. Hashtag where we worship. Though, actually, it's really a little bit more like this on Sundays. Thank you, guys. I'm glad you're here. I would be very grateful to see photos of where you are watching or listening to worship. Please, send me some pictures so we can share where Highlands United Methodist Church worships right now. Hashtag, where we worship. Because it's not this right now. This week, we begin a new sermon series all about how God isn't stuck in the sanctuary. Each week, we will hear a Bible story of God meeting people where they are, of people welcoming the divine presence into their homes. Our scripture today is one of the first divine pronouncements that God is not stuck in one place. After generations of people had only known God as a distant idea, a far-off presence, something seated upon a mountaintop, God speaks to Moses and tells him that the divine presence will be traveling with God's people through the wilderness to come. And so the Hebrew people construct the tabernacle, a beautiful traveling tent that will remind them of God's presence wherever they are. Speaking of tents, do you guys want to go build something with me? Let's go. It's actually quite appropriate that this week's scripture brings me to a blanket fort. Hearing the description of this mobile sacred tent from Exodus, I was hoping to capture a feeling of the transitory nature of the fabric and the poles, the intimate space created for the presence of God to dwell. But this does more than just offer biblical allusion. You see, this image also came to my mind when I was thinking about our sermon series. And there's a reason my mind went to images of a blanket fort when I was thinking about ideas of ways we feel at home. Growing up, blanket forts were places of comfort and security. You could disconnect from the world outside and create a space just for you and whatever and whomever you wanted to be inside the fabric walls. Blanket forts were dwellings of peace. I have been longing for a sense of comfort and security and for a feeling of peace. I mean, there are moments when I'm going about my day that I almost forget what's going on in the world. Most often, it happens while I'm doing a routine that happens at home anyway, getting the kids ready for bed, or sitting at my desk sending an email, or cooking dinner. But there are other moments in my day when waves of reality just wash over me, when I really miss something, or somewhere, or someone. In addition to that grief, there are also waves of anxiety and uncertainty. How long will it be like this? Are my family and friends healthy? How much in life is going to change forever? I don't list these questions to burden you with anything you haven't experienced yourself. My guess is these are pretty common aspects of the human experience right now. So, there's sadness and grief, fear and anxiety. I also have moments of frustration and anger, and sometimes what I experience is an exasperation that doesn't carry a label, that is best expressed by a long And all of those feelings, the ones I can name and the ones I can't name, they are the kinds of moments that I want to just disappear from the world and wrap myself in the comfort and security of a blanket fort. Now, I know I already asked you to send pictures of hashtag where we worship, but if anyone in your house builds a blanket fort this week, I'd love to see that as well. And that's an all-ages invitation. The sadness and grief, the fear and anxiety, the frustration and anger of life right now, they've been experienced by God's people before. For example, the Psalms, they are filled with the longings and lamentations of God's people in difficult times. In fact, there's also an entire another book of the Bible just named Lamentations. I mean, from slavery to exile, from the personal suffering to the communal need, our scriptures are filled with humanity's hardest moments. Which I guess makes sense in a way. Those hard moments are when people turn to God, whether to ask for help or just to curse. And what we find in the story of Exodus is God responding. The cry of the Hebrew people enslaved in Egypt begins the story of the Exodus, when God asks Moses to confront the Pharaoh and free God's people. After the Hebrew people are spared in the darkest of moments, the Passover, a remembrance that was just celebrated again by Jewish people the world over. After God's people had passed through the parted waters of the Red Sea and waited as Moses went up a mountain to receive instructions from God. Now, like I mentioned earlier, until this point, there wasn't a clear understanding of where God was. Now, for the early patriarchs listed in our Bible, God would appear in dreams and visions, perhaps angels would bring messages. But for most people, God was a distant idea, a far-off presence. Or as was common in the other religions of the time, God was seated upon the top of a mountain. And it was on that mountain that God gave instructions for a tabernacle. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to collect gift offerings for me. Receive my gift offerings from everyone who freely wants to give. These are the gift offerings that you should receive from them. Gold, silver and copper, blue, purple and deep red yarns, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, beaded leather, acacia wood, oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing, sweet-smelling incense, gemstones, gems for setting in the priest's vests and the chest pieces. They should make me a sanctuary so I can be present among them." Now, the next 7 chapters of Exodus include specific details on how to construct this tabernacle and all of its accoutrements. The details are so specific, we could perfectly recreate it today. "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and crimson yards. You shall make them with cherubim skillfully worked into them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and the curtains shall all be the same size. 5 curtains shall be joined to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be joined to their others." Exodus includes instructions for the ark that would hold the tablets, instructions for the altar, for the incense holder, for the tents and the courtyards and the lampstands, all of which all shared this one quality. It was all mobile. The Hebrew people carried all of this with them, and they would set it up, and they would take it down throughout their entire journey amidst the wilderness. The scriptures tell us they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, which I will remind you, as we discussed when Lent began, when 40 is used in the Bible, it is more about change happening within people than it is about a specific count of years. The Hebrew people were about to be changed in their wilderness journey. Nothing they knew would be the same. the Hebrew people were about to wander through the wilderness, and God asks them to pause, to gather together, so that God might offer a clear statement. God says, I am with you. I've been where you were, I will be going where you are going, and I am always with you along the way. Now, generations later, this would all be but forgotten as the temple was built. Instead of roaming with the people as they journeyed, people believed that God resided in the holiest of holies inside the temple, a stone version of the tabernacle that did not move. It was a place that you would go to get close to the divine presence. Believing that God is in a specific place waiting for us is an understanding that has also been far too present in Christian history. I mean, Christianity has built great cathedrals. We have adorned sanctuaries with symbolism, and we have named rituals and rites that are accessible only in specific locations with specific people. It's one of the reasons people have had to articulate what I believe to be a false dichotomy. Oh, I'm spiritual, but not religious. We shouldn't have to distance ourselves from religion to find ourselves close to God. For God's grace and Spirit surround us. They envelop our being. The love of God covers us with comfort and security and peace. God's love is an invitation to feel at home. God isn't in our sanctuary because it's a sanctuary. God is in our sanctuary because when we are there with God. And God is where you are right now because you are there and God is with you. We are in and wandering through a wilderness right now, and God is with us. And just like the Hebrew people, we don't know how long this wilderness experience will last. And we too will be changed. One of those changes I hope to see is in our understanding that God is with us wherever we are. That during our time at home, we might develop new ways of connecting with the divine right where we are. Right where you are right now. Another change I hope to see is in our understanding of the blessing of gathering together. I miss us being in the sanctuary on Sunday because I miss you. You are not in the sanctuary and we are not together in person, but we are surrounded by the same divine presence in this very moment. And that makes me feel at home. And it is a feeling of home that can be carried with us wherever we go. And that feeling of home is far easier to pack up than fine linen, goat's hair, beaded leather, acacia wood, and oil. And it's my prayer that that understanding of God's love being with you will bring you the comfort, security, and peace that we long for until we are in person together again.